afternoon once again, everyone. It is our number two of the Champ Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Also, don't forget about downloading that Civic Media app at Bull Falls Radio and all the other Civic Media radio stations. It is Wednesday, final day of the month of November, and it does have a winter-like feel here in central Wisconsin. Been some blowing snow, colder temperatures, big winds, wind chills just barely above zero. Again, wrapping up November with a chilly one. What can we expect as we get into the month of December? Well, to find out, we're joined from Weatherology by meteorologist Ray Miller. And Ray, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. We'll have a couple of patchy snow showers yet this afternoon, but most of that activity moving off to our east. Skies remain cloudy and temperatures remain on the chilly side. Highs in the low 20s, and as you mentioned, those west winds will continue to gust, occasionally as high as 40 miles an hour, so that wind chill still near zero for most of the day. The winds do ease up a little bit tonight, still some gusts up to 30 miles an hour, partly cloudy with a low of 7 degrees. Sunny on Thursday, a little bit warmer, 29 for the high temperature. The wind's still breezy at 10 to 20 miles an hour, but they'll be out of the southwest this time, so that'll help to bring some of that warmer air into the region. Friday, mainly cloudy, high temperatures around 41 with breezy south winds. Chance of snow early Saturday as temperatures cool off again. Not much in the way of accumulation with that. High of 26 degrees. Sunday, sunny with a high of 32. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
Yeah, that sounds good on Friday, getting back to 41. And today, you go outside, you feel that wind. The wind is the big factor today, isn't it?
It really is. And as I mentioned, that'll continue through the rest of the afternoon and into tonight as well. And the temperature is really still below average, even without the wind. Usual high around 33 degrees. So these highs in the 20s, still below that.
Okay, Ray. Well, thanks for the information, and we'll talk again soon.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau, plenty of cloud cover, some light snow and breezy conditions in the area as well. Temperature of 20 degrees. The winds are out of the west at 22 miles per hour, gusting as high as 33 miles per hour. What does that mean? It means cold wind chill factors. The wind chill right now at 4 degrees above zero. The dew point is 9 degrees, so that means a relative humidity of 62%. The barometer at 29.90 inches and a visibility of 8 miles. The time is 3:09 here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. Again, it is hour number two of the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio. Again, thanks to Sean Wright for joining us in hour number one, talking about the activities heading towards Christmas at the Grand Theater with the Performing Arts Foundation. And coming up in just a few minutes, in about 5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Nancy Stensel. Talk about some drilling and mining at the Reef Deposit. Talk about political issues. Talk about running for office. Because I do think that something that is important is for people to be involved. Be involved in the system. Be involved in government. Because if not, then you'll just have people like Ron Johnson who will take all the money from the richest people and serve them only. I hate to be blunt about it, but you know, we can't have a government that's just for the millionaires and by the millionaires. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those issues with Nancy Stensel coming up at 3:15. Also, don't forget tonight, we have the big high school sports show. Yep, Wednesday's always a busy night for me. Heck, most days and nights are pretty busy these days with a lot of high school sports coverage with basketball and hockey. But on Wednesdays, I'm back in this studio, back in front of this microphone from 6 till 8 p.m., joined by Newman Catholic, former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress. Tonight, we'll be talking high school basketball and hockey, plus special guests at 6:40. We'll be joined by Chad Weinfurter, the head boys basketball coach at Auburndale High School. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by from Newman Catholic High School as really outstanding start to the season for their outstanding senior Mason Prey. Prey had 40 points in the victory over Wausau West last Saturday, had 24 points last night in a victory over the Edgar Wildcats. So again, Mason Prey from Newman Catholic High School, their basketball senior at 7 o'clock. Each and every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Big High School Sports Show, right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. I'm looking at the clock. I'm not even going to start talking about what I was going to talk about. I'm going to save it for the last segment of the program. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm calling an audible here at the line of scrimmage because we have 1 minute away from our break. We're going to call an audible. We're going to have Nancy Stencil come in next as we continue. It's so cold outside. Sometimes the mind doesn't work as well either, right? But we'll come back with more Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
I'll drink all the time, 'cause we're lovers, that is the fact. Yes, we're lovers, that is the fact. Oh, nothing will keep us together.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's 3:16 on a Wednesday afternoon, and very happy to welcome into studio for the first time on my program, Nancy Stencil. And Nancy was saying the only time she ever sees me before now was on Labor Day, when I've been very fortunate to be able to announce the Labor Day Parade here in Wausau. Work with a lot of terrific people. But Nancy, thank you for popping on over.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of different things I want to talk about. And I'm going to throw a little audible at it because we just came off an election. And here in the state of Wisconsin, and I think that it drives a lot of us that would consider ourselves more on the progressive side crazy that this 50-50 state sees a state government that's two-thirds Republican on the state Senate side. And very fortunately, they didn't quite get to two-thirds on the assembly side. I imagine for you, as somebody who's been a very active member within the political realm here in central Wisconsin, you look at that, it sometimes it feels like the mountain is so high, doesn't it?
It's really hard to look at, because when you have discussions with people, I think so much of the time we're a lot alike. We have more similarities than we have differences. And then you watch election results. And I just, for the life of me, I struggle to figure out why are we voting against our own best interests all the time.
I'm going to put an example out there that, because during the course of the campaign, this one race I'm going to take a look at, the 29th State Senate, we had a retiring Republican in Jerry Petruski, a guy that, you know, we may disagree with on the issues, but I think a guy that...
Moderate.
You know, when you talk to him, you could certainly have a conversation and and understand that there are certain issues that may be different, but he's a guy that treats you with respect and will listen to you. And we have this campaign where I had Bob look on the program a number of times, a guy who's basically said common sense. He wanted to be a common sense guy. He would, and frankly, there were times I would be like, you got to say something about this Corey Tomchek, you know, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be a very classy guy, and he ran a very classy campaign. And then they have Corey Tomchek, and I had not heard Corey Tomchek speak in person until an event at the university here in Wausau. And he came out there, and he had such vitriol towards anybody on the left, basically calling the governor a traitor, calling Democrats traitors, throwing the mayor of Wausau under the bus. And I asked the mayor, because she was on the program, I said, what's your dealings with? I've never dealt with this guy. He's just out there talking that way. And I was depressed for a couple of days, because that's not the way that candidates should handle themselves. And I'm thinking, people are going to realize this, that they want somebody that treats people with respect. And then the votes come in, and it's, I forget what it was. It was 20
awful.
Plus 20. Yeah, I mean, it was not a close election. It was a 20
no,
plus.
No, it wasn't.
You've been through the ringer as a candidate.
Gosh,
but
I
you look, but you live here, I live here, and we deal with people that don't have different opinions. When you see it's like 62-38 or whatever it may have been, what do you take away from that?
Bob, actually, as a candidate, we're using his race as an example, was such a stellar candidate.
Yes.
He's an all-around great guy, sportscaster, a friend to everybody, very moderate, doesn't really swing either way drastically. And I would agree with you, he needed to get some mean bones, but he really has none. And just that whole race from the day it started surprised me. I really thought, for starters, that Bob would be going up against Brent Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
Brent had like all these signs out there super early, and he's a very well-known guy. He's very moderate. There's people from both sides that would like him. And I was floored to see that he was beaten by virtually somebody who is unknown. And a lot of what we do find in Bob's race, and I know somebody over in the Green Bay area, too, that had a similar race, where these candidates don't show up for anything.
Yes.
And Mr. Tomczyk had signs out there, but like the League of Women Voters is notorious for getting both sides to come together, try to get both sides to come together and have debates. So often, the Republican candidate never showed up. So then, of course, they cannot have, because they're bipartisan, a nonpartisan, they cannot just have one side come and say, hey, sorry, we invited this person and they didn't show up.
Can't put the empty chair out there.
No, the empty chair with a water bottle. We used to do that to Mr. Duffy quite often.
And that has been a pattern. It's not just this election, but as you say, I mean, it's almost like they just want to, and you talk about Mr. Tomczyk, he would have his signs to say, conservative. Okay, that's what he ran on. I'm a conservative. And he thinks enough people, and if you keep your mouth shut, they'll vote for you. And when he did open his mouth, it was vitriol.
It was awful. The one forum, I would call it a laughing stock.
I know.
This is somebody who the things that he points hatred at has taken free COVID money, and then turns around and has a Trump-like rally in his parking lot.
What does the results say, though, in terms of what the progressive movement in central Wisconsin has to do? Democratic Party, because you've been around it. People have worked. It's hard. It's hard to, I think, put your arms around exactly, because, like you said, Bob ran a campaign that I thought spoke to everybody.
Yes, he showed up for many things. He showed up for parades. He showed up at all kinds of events. He actually sat down in a bar and talked to both sides. What I call it is gerrymandering.
That is an issue, and I think that's also an issue that makes this next election so vitally important for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because as long as Republicans have power, they're not going to change it. They will not change these gerrymandered maps. The only, I think, recourse is to get a liberal majority on the state Supreme Court, and there is an opportunity coming up in a few months.
Right. There is. And we have to make the most of that opportunity. The one candidate I know over in the Greenberry area, too, she said that, when she was able to actually get into it, she was the only Democrat that showed up along with seven Republicans. And I told her, I said, my goodness, you are a brave woman. And she said that, when she got out there and she gave her spiel, she said, they were quiet. She said, they were just stunned by what they heard. And she said, the Republican candidate got up there and said, Betsy, all in 2 years. They're very cocky about it.
In the issue of gerrymandering, and I find it interesting because time flies now. I think it must be about 8 to 10 years already since Mandy Wright was our representative here in central Wisconsin. And I used to have a morning show, and she would come on, and one of the issues she talked about, fair maps. Why is it only one party believes in fair maps and the other doesn't? I mean, I know you can find examples around the country where Democrats have taken advantage as well. But here in Wisconsin, and back then, it was a much closer balance here in Wisconsin.
Right. It swung too far.
Right, this was not an issue where the Democrats were trying to, I think, pull wool over the people's eyes. They wanted fair maps. We've seen where in some areas where you have the fair maps and there's an opportunity for the power of ideas to actually win. It just feels like that there's no political penalty for the Republicans for even pretending that they want free maps.
It was really depressing. We were just talking about this morning on gerrymandering, and where we thought we stood a chance, and we actually sat down and started making lists of, you know, things that you want to have seen. And just, you know, when you think you have a chance, you submit this, and just like that, it was all cut and dried and done. And here we sit again.
And I know that when Robin Voss actually testified in favor of the maps, he had not one person that stood up and said, yes, this is what we should do.
Right.
And they don't care. That's the thing that's very frustrating, isn't it? They don't care as long as they get what they want in terms of the power.
The worst of the worst, you're right, they don't care. I think there are some Republicans that are decent, honest people that really do want to see things a little bit more fair. But I think they also know that they can't open their mouths.
No.
Or they'll be shut up by their party.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Well, another aspect that I wanted to bring you on to talk about is because when I was voting during the primary, and I know you saw it as well, where there would be no Democrats on the ballot. And
that's hard.
And I wanted to ask you because you've basically sacrificed yourself at times. You know, it's like, and that's what it is. And I think Bob did that.
Yes.
And I think that Dick Ostman did that as well, because they our assembly candidate, Kristen Conway, did that as well, where they know that it's a plus 20 district. And they know it. There's stats that say plus 20 Rs.
You walk into it with some hope. You can't just say, I'm just doing this for taking one for the team. You do walk in there with some hope. I know there were times when I ran against John Spiros that I actually out-fundraised him on one report. And it made no difference if I worked my hind end off or if I didn't. But one thing we did find this time with a lot of our candidates is that along the way, you know you're on the right side of the issues. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I know one of the people that I worked with in a campaign, they developed camaraderie. They had a lot of local people that stepped up to do canvassing that had never done canvassing before. They did phone banking and text banking. And so, you know, they've developed just that camaraderie. And that's all you can do. Going into it, I think like Bob and another one that I know over in the Green Bay area had said, they knew going in it was going to be difficult, if not impossible, but that you have to look at it that you're lifting up the team. Mm-hmm. You're there to get Governor Evers more votes and everybody else on the state ballot to rise everybody up. And in that aspect, a lot of that did happen, which, thank goodness.
Absolutely. Getting Tony Evers over the finish line, incredibly important. So we got to take a quick break. We got to have a news update here, but we'll have more with Nancy Stensel coming up. Talk about a few issues as well, besides politics, because politics is fun, but issues are important, right?
Yes, they are.
So we'll talk to Nancy Stensel about some of the issues going on here in central Wisconsin and in Wisconsin generally. The time is 3:28. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 3:34. We are talking to Nancy Stenzel. Nancy, just to kind of close the circle on running for office, despite the fact that you didn't win, was there ever any regrets about doing it?
Did none. You? None whatsoever. I learned so much doing it. I met the, great people.
Yeah, I was asking, what is the best part of running, and what's the hardest part of running?
The hardest part is the commitment. You have to be committed. The best part is the people you meet along the way. I can't even explain it. There's so many good people out there.
For yourself, let's turn to issues. What is the biggest issue right now that you're concerned about?
Clean water.
Isn't that... You know, when I ask anybody that's on the progressive liberal side, it's always an important issue. If you were to ask Ron Johnson what the most important issue is, it'd probably be tax cuts for the rich. I mean, it's amazing that and everybody here in central Wisconsin, that's important. It's vital. And there are people that talk about it. There are people that would actually do something about it, and yet they will go to the poll and they'll vote for the people that talk about religious freedom. It's a frustrating aspect. What are you looking at in terms of clean water at this point?
Well, in our area here, we have a Canadian company who's coming in and wants to do some exploratory drilling at the Reef Deposit. The Reef Deposit is 1 mile below the Dells of Eau Claire. It's like a half a mile from the Eau Claire River. It's right at the mouth of Mulbrook Creek, which is a class one trout stream. And it's a very water-rich area.
And the thing about that kind of issue, about drilling of any kind, you have to be so aware. You have to be on your toes at the same time, because you know these multi-billion dollar corporations are looking for every opportunity that they would suck the earth dry for a little bit more profit.
Yeah.
Isn't that the case?
They would.
And the thing about it is, and for activists, if you take your eye off the ball for a minute, they're going to be there and swoop in, aren't they?
They are. And laws, you know, going back to the political part of it, laws that got changed along the way in the last 10 years with the repeal of the Prove It First law has made it really, really difficult for the general public to do anything if a mining company wants to come in. And my group found that out firsthand, where we drew up a petition. We also had a petition from the Ho-Chunk Nation, one from the Menominee Nation, a statement from the Lac du Flambeau. We had like four pieces of, you know, from an environmental group statements saying that, you know, this was a water-rich area. And yet when we had a supervisor present it to the Marathon County Board, one, she was literally torn apart, asked questions that there's no way in heck she would ever even know anything about. And what the first thing I grasped from that is that on a county board level, they are afraid of your state legislature. You know, if we go and agree to what you want here in this resolution, now mind you, a resolution is non-binding.
Right.
And then if we go back and we ask the state for money for this or money for that, they're going to tell us where to go. They're not going to help us.
That's chilling in a way, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it really is, where, and frankly, there's a lot of truth to it as well, because when you look at, and you talk about the reservations, and when I talked to Dick Ostman during the campaign, he would talk about the fact that, you know, he would be up there. He would, you know, be on the reservations and talk to folks, and that Tom Tiffany's never been there. And when you look at the people that are representing us at the state level and at the federal level, you can almost see where the county board is coming from, which is sad in itself, isn't it?
It is. But along with it, one, you know, I don't blame them for that. But the one thing I will blame them and hold them accountable for is that they were literally greenwashed, as we call it, by Greenlight Metals, the mining company that wants to come in, giving them a song and dance about how, well, the water we take, it's going to be cleaner when we put it back than when we take it out. And we have repeatedly asked if we could come across with a formal presentation to the county board to show the other side of what sulfide mining is, should it ever get to that point. Even the drilling in itself is dangerous. There could be PFAS in drilling fluids. And we have not gotten that opportunity.
And one of the interesting aspects when you look at whether it's clean water, whether it's tax policy, whether it's religion in our society, nothing seems to matter in terms of what the history has been. When you look at the issues with PFAS and clean water in general, but yet nothing changes in the big picture in terms of what you're saying, the aspects that would truly change the game when it comes to that, when it comes to tax policy. But since 1980 and the trickle-down revolution that started with Reagan, we have a lot of evidence that the trickle-down policies that are continued to be pushed on an everyday basis by folks in Madison and in Washington don't work.
No, they don't.
And when you look at religion, where we still have to basically bow down, where anybody who runs for office doesn't talk from the top of their roof about how religious they are, have no chance. And yet when you look at what's happened in terms of religion and what's done and what's not done over the past 50, 100 years, nothing seems to change the core beliefs of a lot of people. And that is also something that I guess you try to educate, but at the same time, it's very difficult, isn't it?
It is. And I think there are issues that we can't agree on, and that is that no community should have to sacrifice their water. That bottom line. Bottom line. And I think we find this a lot, probably like within the UP, a lot of the counties up north, where their economies are a little bit more depressed. Mm-hmm. It makes it an easier sell, perhaps, but you have to stop and remember that these jobs are not jobs that last forever. These are jobs that sometimes they bring their own crews in. And when I say greenwashing, we are entering, well, we're there with climate change. Mm-hmm. But I think along with, you know, the IRA that Biden has come out with, this is also our opportunity to not just hand over money to mining companies to make a fast buck for batteries for vehicles, but we have this chance to just stop, take a look at it. How could we maybe mine in a less evasive way? Let's do this the right way, and they can still make money doing it.
And that's one of the things that probably people don't realize, that when you talk about these important issues, it seems less that you have this, I'm not going to move an inch. You're willing to take steps forward, correct? I mean,
yes.
I mean, it, so yeah. Often it feels like, boy, you, the others, they want no restrictions. They want to be able to do what they can and then take anything that might be a roadblock out and make it so easy, even when you do have the, as you say, the evidence that says, hey, this is not right. But I want to ask you a question about, because as members of the as part of the organizations you've worked with over the years, you have to deal with elected officials. You just mentioned about the county board. And mm-hmm. What have you found out in discussions with folks that, especially because many of them have different political viewpoints, what are those discussions like? I mean, do you get the sense a lot of the folks that run as conservatives realize, hey, you got the points here, but they just are not willing to
willing to budge. I think there's monies that have been stockpiled up, especially in this case here. I got my first taste of things with mining. I always thank Paul DeMaine for getting me started on this when the mining thing started happening up in the Pinokies. And that's also the same time where these laws started changing. And then Representative Tom Tiffany, who's now our congressperson, basically let the mining companies write the rules. And I did get kind of reprimanded at a county board meeting for shaking my finger at the person who rewrote those mining laws. And you also find the corruptness of it, because this person that did this works for a company that is, obviously pro-mining. He wrote these laws. He sits on the board of directors for the Greenlight Metals Mining. It's
the epitome of being in bed with them, basically.
Yes, exactly. And it's hard to find out who owns what. The more I started looking, the more confused I got. Because first they were Badger Minerals, then they did this, and then this one's buying this.
Which is the plan of all the way, isn't it?
It is. And then, well, the last time they were here in town and did exploratory, they were known as Aquila. And now they roll back and it becomes Greenlight Metals. And I started noticing familiar names like Barry Hildred, who was the head of Aquila. Well, now he sits at the table on the board of directors for Greenlight Metals. So you really have to wonder. But I do think the one thing that we can all agree on is clean water.
Are you optimistic? Let's take the near future, the next couple of years, 5 years or whatever it may be, that we'll go in the right direction on this issue?
I have to be. That or I'm a complete fool. It might be bold.
The optimistic viewpoint, what's going to happen?
I have a firm belief that people are going to, more and more people are noticing what's happening.
I agree.
And like I said, clean water is something we can agree on. You've seen it right here in Wausau where, all of a sudden the PFAS scare. And you also find how they're moving along in Wausau trying to fix this. Thank goodness for Mayor Katie. She's on top of this. But yet in other communities, like in Rib Mountain where I live, and I hate to use the word affluent, but you probably have a little bit higher incomes living there than overall in the city of Wausau, where the minute it was discovered, it was like, bam, they took care of the problem. They put some kind of newfangled machinery on and tried to correct the problem and how much faster it can get. Where there's money involved, it gets fixed quicker than in a community where there isn't as much money.
I don't know if truer words have ever been spoken. I mean, and that's one of the frustrating aspects of this last campaign is how, we're in central Wisconsin, but the way that the Republicans just dump on the city of Milwaukee, where it's almost like they use misery for some people as a political wedge, and that's hard.
Money is always the bottom line. I always say, no matter what you're doing, and I found this with mining, follow the money. Always follow the money. And it's not just here at the reef deposit, but now they're also wanting, there's a notice for intent to drill up in the Bend deposit up in Medford, where that's right in the heart of the Chequamegon Forest. And due to old antiquated laws, they can still do this. Those laws have remained on the books, which is really not fair. But and I also serve on the board of directors for the Back 40 mine up in Marinette, Menominee. And we just keep following this closely. Got to keep on them constantly.
Yes, you do. And I think we're all very, very grateful that you and the other folks are doing that. Thank you very much, Nancy. Really appreciate you coming by. Hopefully get you back on again sometime soon.
Yep.
I'm sure there's always a lot more to talk about, right?
Oh, there's a lot more to talk about. And if you want to join our little area coalition on saving water, please don't hesitate to reach out. We're always looking for people to help.
Terrific. Nancy Stensel joining us. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on WXCO. with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Always like hearing the boss here in the final segment. Again, it brings back warm feelings, this song, the song that would always be played as Barack Obama would go on the campaign trail in his re-election campaign of 10 years ago, 2012. The boss was there at a number of events, including in Madison, also at his final event in Iowa. But I love this song. I love it, love it, love it. It is November the 30th, 2022. Getting towards the end of the line here for this year. I mean, we are down to our final 31 days of 2022. And taking a look at some famous events that occurred on this date in history. Big one in the history of this country. Back on November the 30th of 1782, the United States and Great Britain signed preliminary peace articles in Paris, ending the Revolutionary War. The Treaty of Paris was then signed in September of the next year, 1783. In 1803, Spain completed the process of ceding Louisiana to France, which sold it to the United States. On this date in 1874, British statesman Sir Winston Churchill was born at Blenheim Palace. On this date in 1979, Pink Floyd's The Wall was released. It sold 6 million copies in just 2 weeks. In 1981, on this date, the United States and the Soviet Union opened negotiations in Geneva, Switzerland, aimed at reducing nuclear weapons in Europe. In 1982, on this date, the motion picture Gandhi, starring Ben Kingsley as the Indian nationalist leader, had its world premiere in New Delhi. On November 30th, 1993, President Bill Clinton signed the Brady Bill, which required a 5-day waiting period for handgun purchases and background checks of prospective buyers. In the year 2000, Al Gore's lawyers battled for his political survival in the Florida and U.S. Supreme Courts. Meanwhile, GOP lawmakers in Tallahassee moved to award the presidency to George W. Bush in case the courts did not by appointing their own slate of electors. On this date, 18 years ago in 2004, Jeopardy fans saw Ken Jennings end his 74-game winning streak as he lost to real estate agent Nancy Zerg. In 2010, the Obama administration announced that all 197 airlines that flew to the U.S. had begun collecting names, genders, and birth dates of passengers so the government could check them against terror watch lists before they boarded flights. On this date in 2013, 40-year-old Paul Walker, the star of the Fast and Furious movie series, died with his friend Roger Rodas, who was at the wheel of a Porsche sports car that crashed and burned north of Los Angeles. On this date 4 years ago, in 2018, former President George H.W. Bush, a World War II hero who rose through the political ranks to the nation's highest office, died at his Houston home at the age of 94. His wife of more than 70 years, Barbara Bush, had died earlier in the year in April. On this date, 2 years ago today in 2020, two battleground states, Wisconsin and Arizona. Boy, those states just keep on being involved in political issues, right? But 2 years ago today, Wisconsin and Arizona certified their presidential election tallies in favor of Joe Biden, even as President Donald J. Trump's legal team continued to dispute the results. Biden's victory in Wisconsin was certified following a partial recount that only added to his 20,600-vote margin over Trump. And 1 year ago today, Ethan Crumbly, a 15-year-old sophomore, opened fire at a Michigan high school, killing 4 students and wounding 7 other people. School staff had discovered his violent drawings, but his parents would not remove him from school. The parents, James and Jennifer Crumbly, are accused of making the gun accessible and ignoring their son's mental health needs. They still face charges, including involuntary manslaughter. Also, 1 year ago today, CNN took Chris Cuomo off the air indefinitely, saying information released by New York's attorney general showed that he had played a greater role than he previously acknowledged in defense of his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, as he fought sexual harassment charges. Cuomo would be fired days later, but he has returned to television. Some famous people celebrating their birthday today. Screenwriter Jeffrey C. Ward is 82. You may not recognize that name, but he works very closely with Ken Burns. Ward is one of the big factors in the Ken Burns documentary series. Movie writer-director Terrence Malick is 79. Playwright David Mamet is 75. Actor Mandy Patinkin, great Broadway and TV star, 70 years old today. Historian Michael Beschloss, he's had many great biographies, 67 years old today. Also, comedian Colin Mochrie, he's performed at the Grand Theater, member of the Whose Line Is It Anyway team, 65 years old today. Former football and baseball star Bo Jackson, Bo knows, Bo Jackson is 60 years old today. Actor-director Ben Stiller turns 57. Singer Clay Aiken is 44 years old today. Actress Elisha Cuthbert is 40. Actor Kaley Cuoco is 37 years old today. Model Chrissy Teigen is also 37. World chess champion Magnus Carlsen is 32 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. Well, that just about does it for our program here today. Thanks again to our guests, Sean Wright from the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, and Nancy Stenzel for joining us here today. Stick around. Coming up from 4 till 6, the Devil's Advocates, and then I'll be back from 6 till 8 with the big high school sports show. So it should be a great rest of your Wednesday. Stay bundled up and keep it tuned in right here to Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
Down, underground to a dive bar in a West End town. Yeah.